night the store of our bodies, messenger of the console, of the errors of the society, of your indignity, on behalf of the people, and their posterity, of the planet 3. The content of this message was compiled, and delivered to be sent on a course throughout the galaxy for the information, warning, and preparation of any people who may be so instructed. This may happen on your road, be therefore forewarned. For the sakes of yourselves and your children, be therefore forewarned. Be therefore forewarned. Be therefore forewarned.
It was no later than 4, when no more than 10 stood over no fewer than 100 of the pitiful dead that they had slain. Startled in their stiffnesses, they each seemed to provoke that same terror in the viewer. The shopkeepers, bazaar merchants, school children, injured hands, and the usual gaggle of petrified said or scrap who watched the broadcasts live and in living color with little more than a passing remark at the malls, in the hospitals, and of course, on cable, with special measuring lines for the convenience of those who appreciate the sport. These were the cast aside elements of whom civil society had declared to be politically inconsequential and thus determined to be dysfunctionally insignificant entities, pursuant to several recent Hollywood court decisions, i.e., they were not engaged in socially accepted human endeavors. Therefore, they cannot and shall not enjoy the rights, privileges, benefits, and protections granted by society unto humans under the canon of their corporate contractual constitution. They, the dead, required of them, the viewer, the same horror by which they had been overcome until dead. As if to plead, weren't you shocked when they euthanized the sick, appalled when they eradicated the lame, and now astonished when they executed us? They, the dead, would forever relive the deaths prescribed upon them of each exploding shell, and each revolver cycle, and each wound's tearing away of impacted flesh, by each projectile's path intersected by each dying soul. They, the dead, relive these deaths in every whisper chain and every vomited boast over every last honest man's tomb. They, the dead, would never again walk, or talk, or hunt another day's meal, but they would die again, and again, and again, and soon. Because there are so many undesirables to eliminate, and so little time to do the job. You see, our world was suffering severe entropic decay and erosion. The planet was dying itself, and as if to appease some angry primeval volcano spirit, man had again turned his spiritual revival motives to the ceremonial serving up of human sacrifice for the promise of a good harvest, adequate stores, and unlimited consumption. If only the gods be pleased with this crusade of righteous extermination. At least that is what its architects have called it, and list its conventions in the names of their gods.
It was, of course, no real burden to our own fertile planet to take on a few dozen of these stranded and starving, though strange, pilgrims back in 92 when their interstellar army exceeded its factory/dealership warranty expiration date and brought these celestial campers crashing into our terrestrial camping grounds. They had come so far, and their home world was so isolated that for thousands of years, I'm told, the people there thought that they were alone in the universe, and that the planets, stars, and the all things, real or imagined, travel in perfect circles around them. Well, their arrival to our world was some 500 years ago, and since then, they've renamed our world. They're in a central hostile, buried and pulled in death camps which they have declined to occupy themselves, and raided our ancient burial places for trinkets, butchers, and both portray among themselves more curios, bookends, and paperweights. Their intellectuals, scientists, and high ethical programmers have imagined dystopian beasts, savages and primitive pagan heathens unworthy of salvation from their terrors by their gods, unless they would become like them, once there were less than 15, though they are much too numerous to count. For over 300 years, they've been writing the laws which have condemned their own deeds, but have operated to corral the aliens of us into their prisons for societal beatification and cheap labor. They've been running the government that they've devised and demand establishment upon neighboring worlds, lest they too be annexed and colonized or embargoed and invaded as most under the ideals of freedom. They demand austerity programs and structural adjustments upon other world economies so that their own gravy train continues to run on time. They've been requiring obedience to a code of behavior which they say comes from their gods, but one that they themselves have yet to display in practical matters and social policy. In fact, these righteousnesses can only be found in marvelously ornamented voting doctrines where the act of righteousness appears as letters on a page, in a book, on a shelf, or as incantations of impudent piety whereby they may be absolved of their own sin through the vicarious sufferings of those persecuted under the CORE, expiation by extermination. In their minds, they have revered as heroes the ones who have decimated entire civilizations and cultures. The civilizations and cultures of those of us who would not leave our home to accommodate their territorial expansion designs. And, in their hearts, they have been hardened to the truths about those who kidnapped and brought with them others to do the hard labor of securing and extracting the bounty of a stolen land. Those enslaved like themselves, who were brought from a world which they had previously ravaged, which world now turns upon its twisted axis as a bleak, barren, and bankrupt planet where internecine in warfare, and the blight caused by centuries of successive expropriation campaigns has ruined, defoliated, poisoned, and subsequently abandoned by those who now glory in the grandeur that such larceny has afforded them. Furthermore, in all worlds where they have come to steal, kill, and destroy, the native females were tortured and abused. All of their own children from these raids were enslaved as chattel, beaten as animals, and legally killed as sport. Their names were stolen from their ancestors, and their legacies stolen from their descendants. Even unto this day, save those of us who by treachery would belie them, and so have therefore sold themselves to them, to gain preference by them, among us with them. Even above the causes of their own families, they pretend to have attained salvation by the grasping of the hem of the traveling thief's bloody apparel. By the word of the book, or the will of the bookbinder, this world was named and blamed. After all, they had the guns. Any gun to our rescue, notwithstanding the fury of their persistent assault. Now, there are more of them than there are of us who either came here seeking a better life, or refuge from persecution by irrational zealots, who would purge the sin of their native society by cutting either descendants of those from whom the land was stolen, or those who are the offspring of the ones who bore the burdens, did the labor, which was the actual building of the self-same society which now so despises them, and even, yes, some of their own. As made by Nebit, and liars would tell it, these particular castaways were just evading excessive taxation, leading irrational religious oppression, and subroverting monarchical domination on their whole world and in the culture which they have bastardized themselves from, yet remain to hold in high regard as the pinnacle of human development. But here, as long as others are legislated as tributary to them, taxation is holy. But here, as long as the sleeps and detentions, mock trials and tortures, in lieu of confession, are designed to expose and eliminate the embittered elements of this population who are sickened by their heresies. Religious oppression is sanctified. But here, as long as there are others who disregard this imaginary heritage and institutionalize hypocrisy under the insidious rule of their infidels and petty pirate princes, authority is supreme and beyond reproach. Unless, of course, it is reproached by themselves, among themselves, for the benefit of themselves.
This is the Interstellar Probe, Hermes, messenger of the Council of the Elders of the Society of Human Dignity, on behalf of the people and their posterity of the planet Drain. The content of this message was compiled and delivered to be sent on a course throughout the galaxy for the information, warning, and preparation of any people who may be so instructed. This may happen on your world. Be therefore forewarned. For the sakes of yourselves and your children, be therefore forewarned. Be therefore forewarned. Be therefore forewarned.